This is a subject that I've been dwelling on a long time because, well, not a long time, about 3 months probably. And I'll explain that part when we get there. But tonight, I'm going to talk about rock, sand, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. So let's turn them with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Somebody raise your hand when you get there so I know when we're ready to go. Okay. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Now that means somebody that keeps the vineyard, a gardener. So basically says we're here to help God with the vineyard of life, the vineyard of souls, and his gardener. We're his gardener. But then the next phrase is something that really intrigued me when I was studying this out. We're God's husbandry, but then Paul says, and just as a matter of fact, there's no question about it, he says, ye are God's building. So remember that. We're going to come back to that. Paul makes every book of Paul rolls and revolves around the subject we're going to cover when I talk to about being God's building. So now let's go a little bit further. We are God's building according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So now, let's go to Matthew. Hold your place there, and go to Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. This is based upon the song we just sang. So see, there was some purpose on it. Let me know when you get there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So this chapter is telling us, and this section of the word is telling us that there is two foundations. The foundations that the world has, which is the sand, and the foundation that is a Christian. As you become a child, saved child of God, you are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the firm rock, the cornerstone. Go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll pick it up where we left off. First, though, I'm going to talk to a couple of things. So verse 11 says our foundation is Jesus Christ. But now let me be clear. That is, our foundation is Jesus Christ if we are saved. So if we're not saved, we're still the foolish man with his house on the sand. But once we accept Jesus into our heart, we are on that rock, the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. And then now let's go back to verse 9. I told you we were going to get back there. It says, verse 9 tells us, without a doubt, that was what was so fascinating to me about this verse, that we are God's building. Well, so what does Merriam-Webster say a building is? Well, a building is a structure with a roof and walls, such as a house. So what Paul is saying is we are God's house. How's that possible? How can I be God's house? Well, it's really easy when you think about the indwelling spirit. If any of you were here several years ago, back when Charlie was doing some specials, you probably are doing some speaking on Sunday mornings, you probably remember this small little visual aid. The first time I saw it, I was probably 6, 7 years old. Didn't mean much to me then at the time, but the simplicity of this illustration just stuck in my heart, and I heard it year over year over year, and it is such a truth. And every one of Paul's writings is based on the truth I'm fixing to show you with three little pieces of paper. So this here represents me. This represents you. It's a body. It's a soul. That's what we are. We're a body and a soul. What happens if the soul and the body? It's death. Body goes into the ground. What happens to the soul? Well, it all depends on what that body and soul have done with Christ at the time. Paul says that the same spirit, well, let me back up a little bit. Paul also talks about the circumcision not made by hands. And so what that means, and he talks about the spirit, the same spirit that raised Christ will raise you. The circumcision not made by hand is a miracle. And I'm going to be just scratching the surface of this, but it's important to go on. The miracle that happens the moment you get saved. When you get saved, we're body and soul. Anybody disagree with that? And then what happens, that circumcision made not by hand, what is circumcision? It's cutting off of the flesh. We're dead to sin. Paul says that all through his writings. We're dead to sin because the body was cut away. But then he says the same spirit that raised Christ will raise you. Now, how does he do that? Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes in. Wraps that soul, and in a twinkling of an eye, quickens that body. So now we're a body, a soul, and spirit. We're a triune being. That's why Paul says, are we going to make God part of what we do? Absolutely not. He says, forbid. Not going to join Christ to a harlot. He's in our body. Everything we do, we're making him part of it because we're sealed. Now you can grieve. It says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Doing those types of things are things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And you can grieve the Holy Spirit to the point where he says, you know what? I don't like living in that body no more. It's time for you to go home. And so the body goes down. This is sealed for eternity. This goes up to heaven. So that is very important when we get to this next part of the rest of this. So remember that. Body, soul, and spirit. That's what we are once we're saved. This is the building that Paul is talking about. This is how we are God's house. God's building. So remember that. Now, if we pick it up in verse 12. Verse 12, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, what foundation is that? Jesus. The building that we are. We are a building whose foundation is Jesus. And he says, if any man builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So that scripture says that our works that we do in this building, everything we do after we get saved is going to be judged. And it's going to come out as being gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Guess which ones burn up? The wood, hay, and stubble. If I have a bar of gold, and a bar of silver, and a pile of diamonds, and a fire comes through my life, burns all the wood and stubble away, that bar of gold may melt into a nice little puddle that'll get hard, and I'll have a big old round puddle of thing of gold, but it's still going to be the same weight it was when it melted. Same thing with the silver. The diamonds, they may get a little soot on them, but you'll be able to polish them things back up sparkling just like they were the day before the fire. So, let's take away. Our works are going to be judged. We will suffer loss. Let's be clear. We're going to suffer loss because all of us have wood, hay, and stubble in our lives. But our bodies, that building, will not perish. So, this is what was fascinating to me about this subject. The Apostle Paul, in his word here, and clearly lays out a hierarchy, and I think it's by value. He intentionally said them according to value: gold, silver, and diamonds, precious stones. And then he says wood, hay, and stubble. Those are three categories, three layers of value in each of those. Now, this is just my opinion. That and 75 cents will get you a cup of coffee in a cheap diner, but I think it is very, very close directionally to what Paul is meaning by each of these examples of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. So in my opinion, gold, things that are gold and are going to survive the test in your life, are those things that contribute directly to somebody being saved. So you witnessing to somebody and winning the soul to Christ. You tithing, giving to missions so that somebody else is able to witness to somebody and win them to Christ. Paul says that goes to your account. So when that missionary leads somebody to Christ, he gets gold. You get gold because the dollar you gave into missions, the dollar you gave into this church that was able to send him, was the reason that he was able to do that teaching. And so that goes to your account as well. Paul says that very clearly in his writings, that those go to your account. Being a Sunday school teacher and leading one of your kids to Christ. Clearly, that is the gold, I think, that Paul's talking about here. So now silver. What are some examples of things that are silver? Things that contribute, and again, my opinion, but I think I can back it up. Things that contribute indirectly to somebody being saved. A clean nursery, so that when a family that's visiting, they don't know Christ, they come in and they got a fussy baby, they see a clean nursery, they see happy faces back there, they're not worried, they're not anxious about leaving their child back there, so that they can come in here and hear the message that God has put on the pastor's heart, that God knew they were going to come through that door, God knew they were going to put that baby in the nursery, and he knew that what Pastor had to say was going to directly impact them and touch their hearts, change their lives. The person in that nursery, the person that cleaned that nursery, that's going to go to their account. The grounds. Look how nice the grounds are on a regular basis. Keeping the church visibly attractive. That's like an invitation. Now, what would happen if people were driving down that street and they couldn't even see the sign for the weeds that are built up? They couldn't see the parking lot because of the grass that's grown up through the cracks and the leaves that are everywhere. That's not an invitation to come here. So those are the types of things that make church something to say, you know, maybe there's something there I need to go take a look at. I think those are all things that are silver. Precious stones. Precious stones to me, again, my opinion, I'm going to keep saying that. I think those are things that benefit the saints or the church as a whole. So things we do, maybe a widow's ministry or a food service that we might do, or churches, the things that we do that are going to help somebody else in our church or help others around us in the community. The reading your Bible every day, I think those are the precious stones. Having an active prayer list so that when somebody we know like Susan and Alan Smith are sick, knowing that they're sick and knowing that they're on our hearts, and we've opened up and we wrote that name in our prayer list. And we're going to pray with them and pray for them until we know they're not sick anymore. That is directly benefiting. I think those are the precious stones that he's talking about. Well, we've talked about the good things, the ones that are going to last the fire. What about the things that are going to burn up? The wood, hay, and the stubble. One thing I want to make very, 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 very clear. Just because it burns doesn't mean it was bad. Just because it burns doesn't mean it was bad. It just means that it wasn't something that benefited the kingdom. Keep that, be very, very clear about that. So wood, hay, and stubble, those are the three definitions that, and breakouts that Paul gave us. Wood. I'm going to say it again, my opinion. I think wood are the things and activities that we have to do living here on earth that are necessities. I've got to go to work. I've got to make money for my family. I've got to take care of my family. I've got to keep the cars running. I've got to buy food for my family. Those are the things that are necessary. I can't avoid them. Being kind, not being a jerk, not being a bum. All these things are good things, but they're not gold, silver, or precious stones because they're not any different than the rest of the world. The rest of the world's going to work. The rest of the world's taking care of their family. The rest of the world is being nice. Most of them are being nice. I mean, that's the thing about when you look at the difference between us and the world. I know sometimes we like to get on a high horse. But the only real difference between us and the world is, again, that foundation. And this. I have this in me that sets me apart from the poor guy that only has this. That's the only difference, folks. And we got to remember that that's the only difference. We might try to figure out that, oh, what other things are going on. But really, when it boils down to it, that is the only difference. He has not had an opportunity to let this miracle happen in his life that would make him God's building. So, remember that. Hay. Hay, again, I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. Merriam-Webster says that hay is any grass or grain that can be cultivated, dried, and stored for feed. So, again, one of those kind of necessity things in life, just to take care of stuff. Now, I'm going to be a little and say that in my mind, my categorizations, hay is not the necessities. It's not me going to work. It's not me taking care of my... I'm going to classify the hay in my life are kind of like the entertainments, the recreation. Going fishing, not a bad thing. I might go camping. I might take a road trip. Not wood, but it's not stubble either. But it's, you know, it's just kind of one of those things that's there. It's going to burn because it didn't do anything for the kingdom. But hay can really become those types of activities are not bad in and of themselves, but they can become bad if we let them take precedence over the things that we should be doing. If I go fishing every day instead of going to work, or if I do other things that I think are entertaining instead of doing the other things I need to do, well, then obviously that changes that piece there. It's still going to burn. But it turns it into something that's just kind of into something that's bad. Last thing in this, the stubble. Well, what does Webster say about stubble? Stubble, I actually had a completely different, in my mind, what stubble was until I read this, and it even made it more poignant when I read it. Webster says that stubble is the cut stalks of grain plants left sticking out of the ground after the grain is harvested. So, big old combine comes, clears up all that alfalfa, and the baler comes behind it, scoops it up, wraps it up, and those are some fascinating things. If you ever get a chance to watch a field get cleared, you guys ought to just get you a Coke, pull up a cup of coffee, something, and watch them. It's an amazing, that combine comes through, cuts it all up. The next guy comes through, bales it, and just comes back, and he stacks these beautiful little rails, Or you get them ones that make the great big old round spools. Those are really neat. But anyway, the stuff that's left over on the ground, that it didn't, I mean, it just cuts them off maybe an inch, 2 inches off the ground. That's what it's saying is stubble. Remember when the Moses was trying to get the children out of Egypt, and he made the Pharaoh so mad that the Pharaoh said, "We're not going to give you straw anymore to make your bricks. You're going to go pick stubble." So can you imagine what those Israelites had to do? They had to go out there with a knife or something, get down, way down, and cut those teeny little bitty stalks where the good straw was off over here piled up they couldn't touch. They had to dig up that stuff. So that's what that is. Now, stubble, there's absolutely no value whatsoever to stubble. There's nothing. It's not good for me. It's not good for my family. It's not good for anything. Those are the things that are there. And I guarantee you, probably one of the biggest stubbles that are in all of our lives, that brings absolutely zero value, we got a big old stubble box sitting in our living rooms, most of us. So just think about that. That old stubble box. Now, as I bring this to a close, the sad thing about it is that the majority, and for the majority of us, I know it is for myself, the hay and the wood and the stubble of our lives far outweighs the gold and the silver and the precious stones. That's something we need to make a part of our active prayer. We need to focus on that. We need to make an active decision, praying every day that we use our time. The Bible even says, use your time wisely. And I think that's what it means. Make sure that you got to do the hay, you got to do the wood stuff. And every now and then you need to take care of your just going and drowning a worm and do some fishing. But definitely stay away from that stubble. Make sure we're doing the best we can with our lives. So make it an active part of your prayer to make sure that you're doing the best you can with the time that God's given us. Now, do we need some gold, silver, and precious stones in our life? Well then, one of the ways you can get gold. I told you about things being added to your account. Make sure that you honor God by being obedient with your tithes. If you were here a couple weeks ago when we went through the financials, you'll see that the money that we gave to missions was probably, I believe it was right out double what actually came in for missions. So even though you may not be given the missions, if you're tithing and you're being obedient to God, which, by the way, that is something that he commands us to do, is to give the 10% to him. If you're being obedient with your tithe, that's part of that money that we gave above and beyond what else came in. That came directly out of the tithes. And the general funds is what we've referred to it. That still supported missions. That's going to be gold on your account. Go even further. Trust God with your funds and go above and beyond your tithe and start giving. Say, here's my $100, Lord. It's my 10%. But you know what? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do without coffee next week, and I'm going to give you 10 bucks, and I want that to go to missions. Just put it on the card for missions. That's going to be a bar of gold. Silver? Well, Pastor was just talking Sunday about we need people on the cleaning crew. Become part of the things that are going on around here that are just they're not the grand things. They're not the getting up here and singing a special on Sunday or being in the choir. They're vacuuming. They're dusting. They're keeping the bathrooms clean. That's silver, folks. Be part of those teams. Be part of the nursery crew when somebody comes visiting and they've got young kids. Precious stones. Pick this Bible up more than Sunday morning. Start reading it. Get an active prayer life. One of the best things that happened to me and changed my life from a prayer life perspective. Right after we got married, Sue Lynn gave me what it was referred to as the 2959 plan. Anybody ever heard of that 2959 plan? Well, it stands for 29 minutes, 59 seconds in prayer. And it's basically nothing more than a tool a teaching aid of how to pray. And I guarantee you when you first start, you think, 30 minutes? I mean, that's a lot of time just sit and pray for folks. But you know what? You find out once you get started that 29 minutes, 59 seconds isn't near enough time to get through your list of everything you got. There's another plan that crew also has. They call it the 9:59. So if you don't think you can buy into 29:59, they have one that's just 9 minutes and 59. Start in baby steps. I'm going to give 10 minutes a day and what I'm calling an active prayer list, to where you've got notes about people that you want to pray. You've got specifics about needs that you know are in their lives. And you're writing them down and you're waiting to see God's blessings and how he's going to answer those prayers. That's one of the other things that are just amazing, is that when you put something in there and you're able to come back later and say, check, God answered that prayer yesterday. I heard that they left the hospital. Those are some great things. And now, I will warn you now, 29:59 and the 9:59, they are not in King James. So I'm just going to warn you, if that's something that's going to be a no-go for you, well, then you don't want to look at it. But I'm sure there are other tools out there that have scriptures in there that are probably in the King James. But anyway, and even if you don't use something like, you can use a notebook. Just use a notebook and start writing down. This is the page for my wife. This is the page for my job. This is the page for my church family. This is the page for people I hear on Wednesday nights. And just start writing it down and go through it on a weekly basis. Make an active prayer life part of your life. Folks, thank you very much. I hope that meant something to you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that you've given me. Thank you for the privilege of being up here, and the pastor trusted me enough to be able to get up here and speak on his behalf, Father. Now be with us. I hope this meant something to somebody as much as it meant to me as I was preparing it, and that it changed and made me address things in my life that I couldn't just write this and set up here without having to actually think about the things that I was in conflict with. So thank you, Father, for bringing that to me. Thank you for allowing me to be able to spend this time. Now be with us as we leave today and as we go on about our weeks. Be with the pastor and Tina as they're up there, that Tina continues to get better and that they be able to come home safely. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, from a prayer perspective, I think I heard somebody giving an